Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Hey. First things first.
So, yesterday, the EFF had a rally. And Julius Malema obviously addressed members of the EFF that were present. And this was also televised. You saw it on social media, etc. and so on. He ended the address by singing the infamous Dubli Bunu. Maybe let me just give you context to this. Last week, we had a situation where our president went to the U.S., met up with the U.S. president, and he was presented with clips of Julius Malema singing Dubli Bunu, had to answer for it, and it seemed, ultimately, they made some kind of common ground. Now, it's his constitutional right, Julius Malema, that is, to sing Dubli Bunu. This matter was taken to a constitutional court, and it was declared that this is actually not hate speech. So anybody can sing it at will now, NJ, if you want, right? The question you've got to ask, though, is who or what purpose does it serve? And people have asked this before. Now, let me explain. We are not in the business of appeasing whiteness in any way, shape, or form. So just because something makes somebody uncomfortable doesn't mean we should stop it. In fact, we did a first things first about this. I think last week at the beginning, if not the week before that, while speaking about that guy who was taking photographs of children who were playing in a field. And you guys came out and you said, no, because everybody was feeling uncomfortable, we should have stopped. It was actually the week before last on Friday. And I argue that's not how the world works. So just because things make people uncomfortable doesn't require the other person to stop. However, when things make the world more difficult, and not only for those parties that seem to be aggrieved, but for everybody involved. And by that, what I mean is, if you can see that the US, for example, is beginning to have tensions with South Africa as a result of this act, and these tensions are going to adversely affect the lives of all people, including the black people that you claim to represent, then maybe what we need to do is we need to have a risk-benefit assessment. So you need to look and go, what is the cost of me singing this song versus the benefit, right? The black child specifically, how is their life being bettered by me singing this particular song? And again, I remind you, it is his constitutional right to do so. Maybe he doesn't even consider that, and he doesn't have to. But when you run a political party, unfortunately, these are things that do come up that you need to consider. Not now as an individual, but as a leader of the collective. Right? It's easy to start something. It's a lot more difficult to grow it. The EFF has been existing for 12 years now, and they've been going really, really well as an opposition party. You could argue that the next step will be the growth for them to become, I guess, a bigger party than what they currently are, or just a formidable party to, I guess, stand their ground and prove that they can last another 12 years or whatever. So with that having been said, the question is, what are your thoughts regarding Dubli Bunu today, if they're at all very different from yesterday? I'll start with you, Mpo.
You know, to be honest, I think you are being very intellectual about it. Because having watched some of the clips of what Julius was talking about with regards to how everyone within the country felt that the EFF was dead, only to find the EFF in the White House, in the Oval Office, right? For him, I think it's more of a, we are making some or other impact somewhere in the world. It doesn't have necessarily to be in South Africa, but someone somewhere is taking notice of us. And for him, at this particular point in time, I feel like that is more important than the impact of what, whether you're singing the song or not. For him, it's about, we made it to the White House.
And I agree. They're definitely making white people uncomfortable. There's no doubt about it. The question is, to what end?
Well, he made it to the White House, so yes, to that end.
But so, who does this help?
No one. No, all it does is keep the EFF in the news. Yeah. Like you said, the song took him to the Oval Office,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
The song made Trump say, no, this is not a small party. When we all know that, well, the numbers show that it's a small party. Trump was clearly shocked by the fact that there were 90,000 people who pulled up. But to be honest, the song does more harm than good, even though it's his constitutional right, clearly. Because I don't see anyone going, I'm going to vote for the EFF because Julius Malema is defiant and he keeps on singing Kill the Boer. I don't see it, you know, benefiting the EFF in any way. Yes, it makes them look very strong and defiant, but like you said, at what cost? At the country's cost? Because, look, if I see a foreign country and someone in a foreign country, a politician, singing, kill a particular race of people, generally, I'm not interested to Google the context and read the context and know, oh, it's a struggle song from there. I just see what I see, and it looks bad for the country. It is what it is. And like you said, I don't see it benefiting him apart from, you know, giving him the media oxygen of being in the news.
Okay, now Mfundo, we all agree that nobody has ever heard Dubli Bunu and then took up arms to go kill Ibunu.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever done it, right? So this is not a song that incites violence.
Most certainly.
Now, if we're saying that people are missing the context, because obviously people in different parts of the world may not know what its historical context is, whose fault is that?
I mean, it's a different country. Really, it's not that easy to have taken the message around where Dubli Bunu came from. So I wouldn't even say it's anybody's fault. But I still love the way you framed your question today, saying that let's ask ourselves, in society today, is it still necessary to sing Dubli Bunu? But if we had to talk about the historical context, I was watching Thabo Mbeki yesterday. He was doing an interview where he doubled down on his position on Dubli Bunu because at the TRC,
he spoke about it,
saying basically it's a chant, Igwijo, and it's not instructive or directing MK competence back then to go and literally kill Amabunu. And then Malema Yena, in his own court process, he went on to say, really, it's just an interpretation of the problems of today. That in this instance, when you say kill the Boer, you'd be killing an oppressive system, not necessarily an individual per se. And most of these songs transcend over time. That if you look at Malema's favorite song now, I think it's that other song, Ayasaba Magwala, Dubula Dubula, Mama Nyegele, Nfunukba Isocha. He's not literally saying he wants to be a soldier now, so people are going to regroup and start shooting each other. But again, it's a song about a struggle that maybe the youth is facing today. Upepela is the same thing. So these songs are part of cultural activism. And over time, they help them refine their political message. They also help sustain whatever cause you have. So the Youth League, specifically in the universities, when they sing Upepela, you can hear that it somehow brings up that activism in them and it helps them sustain this movement. They are locked out of institutions. They're sleeping in libraries. So cultural activism does have a place in society. But as you framed the question, I don't know in the spirit of reconciliation if Dubli Bunu still has a place, unless we're going to quickly reframe it and say, Ibunu yini manje, is it inequality or what is it? Let's give it an interpretation quickly that who is the Boer now? Is it inequality or what?
So let me end off by telling you guys a story. I was born when the ANC was banned in this country and singing anything political was against the law. So much so that Papa and Blondie used to release instrumentals of the song, but the lyrics you'd go to jail for. So I didn't know, except some of those that people would whisper at home, etc. so on. The first time I heard Hamba Kahle Mkhonto was when Chris Hani died.
A lot of us.
At his funeral. And my favorite part was Tina, Tina Van Bom Konto sees me sele go abulala wona la mabunu. And I remember thinking, damn, this is some militant ish right here, right? But you see, if you were to go and sing that now, you can sing the song. But that literal meaning means, hey, we are determined to go and kill these Boers.
Yeah.
Right? But nobody necessarily means it. So the songs do evoke some kind of an emotion, but they don't necessarily invoke action.
Yeah.
Now I ask, to what end? Please answer this question.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Kaya team. Good morning, Bablom. Hey, my man doesn't know how to read the room sometimes. Like right now, Xizan, fit. Just read the room sometimes.
On this topic, Waras put it so nicely that Brother Man is using this thing for relevance now. It doesn't serve any purpose to his party or anyone else, but he is using it for relevance. People talk about him as soon as he starts singing to Libu. So it's like white people can say it can pull that line that Bonang pulled, that they will have to talk about us with people to take notice of them, something like that. So he's just using it for relevance.
So I actually agree with Julius. I actually think our history as South Africans, the truth and the atrocities that happened are not spoken about enough. Right now, there's massive noise about, what, 7 white farmers that died in all the farm murders and the rest were black people. That we're not making noise about. We're making noise about a particular race. So let Julius carry on reminding us of exactly what white people, the apartheid system in particular, did to South Africans. Let it be.
So let me ask you, how is it going to benefit the child, the black child, for Julius to stop saying it? Because how is it going to do that? Because the black child needs to continuously be aware of the situation that he is in. He is in the struggle. The black child is in the struggle. Just because it makes Trump have a sleepless night doesn't necessarily mean we need to sing the song. We need to sing the song more, actually. We need to sing. We need a revolution. That's what we need. We need a revolution whereby we're going to have politicians that are for the black child. Because none of them right now are for the black child, the ones that are ruling. It's not going to benefit. We shouldn't do things because they benefit the so-called black. No, they don't benefit the black child. The status quo has remained the same, and the black child is still in the struggle.
So nobody said that Julius must stop singing the song. As we said in the beginning of the show, it's his constitutional right. But since you do ask, how's it going to benefit the black child if he does stop voluntarily? Well, I can tell you. Right now, if we were to lose AGOA, right, that would be detrimental to all citizens of Africa, including the black child. And yes, the black child is continuously in an oppressed state, but they'd be even worse off if sanctions were to be imposed on them by the US. So that's how it will benefit them.
I honestly think the songs of our history must remain the songs of our history, and we can't run away from it. So if it's how we feel at this particular moment, then let's sing it from our hearts, because that's where we are coming from. And there's nothing wrong with singing that, because it's where we come from. It's our history. It's our heritage. So let's sing it. Yeah. Keep the rules of our faith. Let's sing it.
Sizwe, ngivumelana nawe but uMalema lento ayenzayo is killing the country. At this point in time, it's time to reflect and to stop this nonsense. Kahle kahle uMalema nje is a paper tiger. Uma ngabe insizwe uMalema kungana nama bodyguard.
I don't think it will end on a positive. Like, look at the youth of today. Labantwana black or white, bayazwana. Like, most of white youth today, they're fighting against Ndabayaka Trump and Tinichi Nasati and stuff. So, in future, I don't think it will end well, because you want to make them vote at the end of the day, in future. But anyway, I would like to say, hey, up until I start listening to you guys. Ah, you guys, you break it down so well.
Thank you very much, and you are more than welcome.
MTs, when you ask to what end, to an end till we become equal, to an end till we notify what to see is figuring that we have equal opportunities. Guys, if you're going to cancel songs, you might as well cancel one apartheid, because at the end of the day, they do so. White people are not going to like it. So, up until a white person understands the context, and if they're interested, let them ask, who's the boy now? And let us educate. This is supposed to be an education moment where we educate them about our struggle songs. We don't sing them for the fun of it. They sang for a specific reason. So up until we get to a point where we are all equal, songs must be continued being sang. Even the generation now should know what the struggle is. Up until we get to that point, for as long as once we forget these songs and want to mimic them to please certain people, we might as well cancel them all.
So again, nobody's saying the song should be canceled, but maybe let me put it to you another way, right? In activism, right, there's awareness and then there's action. The song does a good job of bringing awareness to our problems, right? What it doesn't do, though, is do anything towards the action of fixing that inequality, right? And I know we can then go, what's anybody else doing to fix the inequality? The governing party themselves, what are they doing? But this isn't about them. This particular topic is just about the song and Julius Malema. And I can tell you right now, Julius Malema knows what the song does for him specifically and the EFF as a party. I can also tell you that Julius Malema knows that there's more action that needs to be done beyond just awareness. Because I can tell you one last thing, there's no black person who isn't aware of their own circumstance, right? What we need is to change that circumstance. So this is why I'm posing this question.
I'm just saying, guys, let's be fair here. If Freedom Front had to start a song that said something about the black people or Strauss Mense or Dreyfus or anything of that sort, we would be pulling a racism card. I just feel it's unnecessary. Malema must just stop that. There are people who are suffering because of these kind of things. He's sitting in a better chair. People suffer because they are not getting aid from overseas. So for me, I feel it's unnecessary. So why doesn't he stop it?
You know, it's interesting you bring up that point because that highlights historical context and why it's so important. If AfriForum did that with the context of our history, that would be racist. That definitely would be something that we need to worry about because black people were oppressed by a violent regime.
So I think the Dubuli Pune song is bringing change to South Africa. That is why it actually touches the people of South Africa, specifically the white people of South Africa. So it's not for America. And I think in the same light, Americans must stop then therefore singing the song that John Newton wrote, Amazing Grace, because the white man who wrote the song and he was a slave trader.
Okay, so what are you going to do that's going to adversely affect American lives if they don't? Because I'll tell you what America's going to do, and it's going to affect your life directly. This is the point here. And this is what people need to understand. The song may not be for Americans, but the consequence of the song has reached Americans and the Americans who are about to do something about it. This is exactly what brings us to the discussion.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.